We're learning Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Ches. We learned how Avshalom wanted to become the king after David HaMelech. And he knew that the plans were that Shlomo would be the next king. So he rebelled, he drew the people after him, and he became the king. David HaMelech fled, and he went up Harazesim, and he was cursed out Ben Shimi Ben Gera as he went. He sent the Kohanim, Tzadok and Avyosef, back to Yerushalayim with the Urim Vitumim. He sent his good friend Hushai Ho'arki back to Yerushalayim and told him to become an advisor with Avshalom and use his influence to help David. Achitophel, who was also a previous advisor of David, he used to help David, now turned to Avshalom's side, and he gave him advice against David, and he killed himself. Avshalom killed himself, he committed suicide. Achitophel, the advisor, committed suicide when he saw that his advice wasn't taken. Achitophel's advice had been that immediately Avshalom should chase after David while his men are discouraged, he's on the run, and if he goes right then and he attacks David, he can be the undisputed king and he'll be in control. But if he's going to wait, David will have a chance to build up his army and to regroup, and then it'll be too late. Hushai Ho'arki had suggested that first they should gather the whole army together and make sure that when they fought against David, they would win. Because if in the initial battle, David would win, everybody would leave Avshalom and realize that he's a loser and you can't, and David HaMelech is the chosen one from Hashem. Hushai's advice was accepted. Avshalom did not attack immediately. And now we're going to begin Perek Yud Ches and see exactly what happens. Vayifko David es ha'am asher ito. David counted the people that were with him. Vayosem aleim sari alofim v'sari meos, and he placed over them officers in charge of the thousands and officers in charge of the hundreds. David was terribly outnumbered. He left Yerushalayim with his small force of men, with his few friends, but basically he left the whole country and the whole nation under the control of Avshalom. The whole army was left behind. He took his general Yoav, and Avshalom just switched, took a new general, Amasa ben Yeser, which we learned in the previous perek. He appointed a new general, but the army was there together with Avshalom, and David HaMelech just had his few men. But he knew that if he was organized and fighting properly, the Me'am Lois mentions this idea, that he knew that with a small army that is prepared for battle, he would be better off than Avshalom's large army if they weren't prepared. So he set up his army with the Sari Alofim and the Sari Meos, the officers in charge of the thousands and the hundreds. It's not clear whether he planned to attack Avshalom, whether he was afraid at this point that Avshalom would attack him. But we'll see, his army went out to greet Avshalom's army in war. But he put the officers in charge. Vayishalach David es ha'am. David sent out the people. Hashlishis biyad Yoav. A third of them were under the control of Yoav. That was his general. Vashlishis biyad Avishai ben Tsruya achi Yoav. And a third of them were in the control of Avishai, the son of Tsruya, who is the brother of Yoav. There were three brothers. Asael, who was killed a long time ago by Avner, and there was Avishai and Yoav. So these two brothers, each one had a third of the army. Vashlishis biyad Itai Hagiti. And a third of the army was in the control of Itai Hagiti. Itai was the person, the friend who had come to greet David HaMelech, and he had joined David after David fled Yerushalayim. So he was in charge of a third of the men. Vayomer HaMelech El Ha'om. And the king said to the people, Yotso Eitze Gamani Imochem. I will also go out together with you. it seems David's plan of dividing up into three parts was exactly what Hushai had warned Avshalom. Hushai had warned Avshalom, if he goes quickly to attack David, and David is prepared, and David is able to win, or put a scare in the forces of Avshalom, everybody will desert Avshalom. As David was still the popular king, he had gone through a very difficult experiences, and Avshalom had won over the side of the people to believe in him, but after all, if Avshalom would suffer a defeat, people would abandon Avshalom. Over here, we'll see they're divided into three parts. Even though it's a small army, they can hit Avshalom from many directions. And all of a sudden, there would be a sense of panic, that here they figured David was leaving, he left barefoot. He was walking up the mountains crying, and there was a single person, Shimi ben Gera, who was cursing them and throwing rocks and dirt at them, and there was no response. They seemed to be totally discouraged. And all of a sudden now, if Avshalom would get hit with a three-pronged attack from all directions, it would be able to instill a fear in his men, and they would abandon Avshalom. Until now, it mentions, refers to him as David. David appointed the army, and Vayishalach David, David sent them, but Vayomer HaMelech El Ha'am. Now David HaMelech is speaking as the king. As king, he doesn't see he knows it's not proper for the Jewish king to sit back in headquarters and send out the people to risk their life and to possibly be killed. So the Melech says to the Ha'am, the king, as king says, it's his job to be there also. Yotzo Eitzig Amani Imochem, I'll also go out together with you. It's not clear whether he would go out and he would be part of one of these three groups, or he would mingle among the different segments of the army. Some learned that he would have a group of his own men. There were three main parts of the army, but David would have his own battalion, his own group of men, which we'll see shortly. He would have a force together with him. Vayomer ha'am lo seitzei. So the people said to David, you won't go out. We don't want you to go out. Ki nos nonus. If we will flee, lo yasimo eleinu leiv. They won't pay attention to us. If they know David is with the army, Avshalom really wasn't out to kill Chas v'Shalom, to kill Klal Yisrael. And as Avshalom was, if anything, portrayed himself as being the one who was, he was with the people, and he loved and he cared for them all. And he's also, we're assuming now, he wouldn't, even those that were together with David, he wouldn't kill. But they felt that the one person he wanted was David. He had to get David HaMelech. And if they go out to war, and they start fleeing, and the word spreads that David is not there, he's hiding somebody else, so Yassim Alein Alev, Avshalom and his men aren't going to bother chasing the stragglers and those that are running away, because they don't really care about them. They're not out to defeat an enemy army. He's out to show that he's the king over all of Klal Yisrael. Now, if David is going to be there in the war, and then they're going to flee, so David's obviously going to be running somewhere, and therefore the pursuit will continue. V'im yamusu chetzienu, and even if half of us are killed, and you see their dedication to David, they're prepared to go to war with an assumption that it could be half of them will be killed. But even if that happens, lo yasimu eleinu leiv, they won't pay attention. It's not like they'll figure, well, we wiped out half of them, well, let's kill the other half and finish the job. If David HaMelech's not there, they're not going to care. And the fact that they killed half is not going to be meaningful, and they're not going to finish the job because there's no job to finish. All they want is David. Ki ata chamonu asoro alofim. Now, chamonu, even if we would have, like us, asoro alofim, 10,000. There's some aforesaid learning, meaning even if we had 10,000 times as many men as we have now, it wouldn't make a difference. You know, it doesn't make, they don't really care how big or how small the army is. All they care about is you. And other Mephoshim learned, Ki ata chamonu, now you are like us, asar alofim. You're worth 10,000 men. Either meaning that Avshalom, when he defeats the rest of the army, if he defeats the rest of the army, will always think in the back of his mind, David could be lurking somewhere with his personal force of 10,000 men. and therefore they shouldn't start running and chasing those that are fleeing. Because if they're going to lose their unity as an army, David can show up at any point with 10,000 men. So the very fact that David's not there, nobody's going to imagine David all by himself is staying home. The king doesn't remain by himself. They're all going to figure the army's out in the field, but David is there with 10,000 men. So Ki'atza, the very fact that you're not at the battlefield, now you will be equal to us. You'll be like us, 10,000. You're equal to 10,000 men. Ve'atotov, and now it's good, Kisiya lonu meir, that you should be for us. Meir from the city, Lazar, to help us out. Stay in the city and help us out. As the Targum says, Rashi brings it down. Uch'an tav, now it would be good, are satzli alona, that you should daven for us. Mean karta, from the city, lemisa, to support us. The best thing you could do for us, David HaMelech, we don't need you to fight the war. We need you to daven. Stay home, stay in whichever city they were near, stay in the city, and daven for the troops. So one moment in Pasuk Beis, David had said as king, Vayomer HaMelech Olam, the king said to the people, I'm certainly going to go out in battle. I'm not going to leave you to fight by yourself. But the people responded, if you're doing it for us, it's not a favor. We'd rather if you weren't here. That's one advantage, the very fact that you're not here, the very fact that Avshalom thinks you are somewhere else, and your tefillah also helps. There's a lot of inspiring stories about I read recently in the Six-Day War in Eretz Yisrael. There were Rosh Yeshivas like Rav Chaim Shmulevitz and Mir, and there were different Rosh Yeshivas who mentioned to the Bochum in the Yeshiva that when the troops were out there fighting the enemy, their job in yeshiva is to sit and to learn and to daven and to say Tehillim, because l'maisa, we all know Klal Yisrael exists on miracles. We wouldn't be here if not for the Hashkacha. So if the whole thing is a miracle, our whole existence is a miracle, and everything that happens is Min HaShemayim, the truth is the greatest service you could do to the people is to daven, and Kisiya Lonu Meir Lazar, you should be for us from the city, stay in the city, David. And from there, you'll help us out. And the Gemara says, Yoav would go out to battle. Yoav was in charge of the army. And David was Osev Mishpat at Staka. He did his chesed. David HaMelech did his avodas Hashem. He did his davening. L'amnatzeach mizmor leDavid yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. The Meforshim bring down, he would say that capital to Tehillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer you b'yom tzara. Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov, your strength should be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Eilav Rechav Eilav Asusim, and Achnu V'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. Like we say in that whole mizmor, that our strength is not in the army, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Shem Elokeinu Nazkir, davening out to Hashem. Vayomer Aleihem HaMelech. So the king said to them, Asher Yitav Beinechem Eser. What's good in your eyes, I'll do. David HaMelech wasn't eager to go to battle and to kill the Klal Yisrael, to go against Avshalom, but he felt he owed it to the people. But if they would prefer, certainly, what is good in your eyes, I'll do. Vayamud HaMelech al Yad Hashar. The king stood by the side of the gate. V'cholam Yotsu, and all the people went out, l'meyos v'la'alofim, by their hundreds and thousands. And he watched the troops go out to battle. There's a Gemara that says in Tefillas HaShachar, in Brochus, it says, Vayamod Pinchas Vayafalel, Pinchas stood and he davened. Ein amida el tefillah. That when you see the word Vayamod, it can mean davening. So again, the Meforshim mentioned, Vayamod HaMelech al Yad HaShar, he stood there davening. That they were going out to war, and he stood there by the gate, and they saw that David HaMelech was immediately put his plan into action. Immediately he started davening to Hashem that as they're going out, they should be successful. By Yitzav HaMelech, the king commanded, Es Yoav, Ves Avishai, Ves Itai. He commanded his three commanders. The king commanded those leading the army, those three, Yoav, Avishai, and Itai. Lamor saying, La'atli, go easy for me. La nar la Avshalom, for the lad Avshalom. Go easy on Avshalom. V'chol ha'am shamu, and everybody heard, v'tzavos ha'melech, when the king commanded us, kol ha'sarim, all of the officers. It seems to imply that besides those three, it was addressed in the main to these three people, Yoav, Avishai, and Itai. But it was really, as kol ha'sarim, who wanted everyone to hear, all the officers were given this instruction, and everyone heard. It was said out loud that there should be, everyone should be aware of this. Al Devar Avshalom, they heard what the king said about Avshalom. It doesn't say Vayetzav David, that David commanded it, or go easy Latli Laben for the son Avshalom. It doesn't seem to be necessarily because of Rachmanis, but as king, he's saying that they should let Avshalom go. They should let Avshalom go. Could be Latli Lanar Avshalom. I was thinking could be he refers to him as the Na'ar. Like the Gemara says in Saita, if a woman was not faithful to her husband or was suspected of not being faithful, they would tell her, Harbe Narus Oisa. There's a lot of things that a person does because of his childishness and his foolishness when he's young. So they tell her, you know, if she acted improperly because of whatever foolishness, she was young, she wasn't mature, and she did the wrong thing, she should admit and not end up, you know, being killed, not drinking the waters. But nar is the term like to be childish, to be young, to not properly understand what we're dealing with. La'ad lila nar la Avshalom. Go easy on the nar Avshalom. David HaMelech viewed it as if Avshalom wasn't out to kill him. David didn't feel like his life was in danger. Avshalom wanted to be the king, and Shlomo was going to be the king. So he's doing this foolish thing and trying to set himself up as the king. Remember, there was no confrontation. As soon as David heard that Avshalom was king, David fled. And the Mephoshim had said, perhaps Avshalom just wanted to set himself up as king, that after David was nifter, he would immediately take over the throne. Not that he planned to take it away from David. He would just set himself up as the successor. So David said, go easy, Lanar Lav Shalom, he's a nar, go easy on the lad of Shalom. And as king, David felt that that was proper. You're dealing with Klal Yisrael, and they're all Yidden, and it's Avshalom, and he doesn't mean bad, and leave him. Latli Lanar Lav Shalom, and everyone heard this. And do this for me, la'at li l'nar Avshalom. Do this for me as a personal favor. As king, I feel that it should be done, but it's my son, David is saying. For me, don't kill Avshalom. The Ralbag also learns that David HaMelech understood, again, this was all a punishment. After the incident with Bathsheba, he was told, Hineni mekim alecha ra mi beisecha, that from his own household there was going to be someone rising up against him. And he realized that this was the message that Avshalom was min hashamayim. He was heaven sent. Avshalom was sent to give him this nisayon and these yisurim. And it said he would live with David HaMelech's wives, and some of them before she mentioned that's why he left the Pilagshim behind. Because he knew that it was a Nivu and it was going to happen. And if he would take everyone with him, that would mean he'd have to be captured. In other words, the Nivu was definitely going to happen. So he didn't leave his full-fledged wives, he left the Pilagshim. And Avshalom indeed took them wrongfully. But David HaMelech realized whatever he's going through is Min HaShemayim, and therefore leave him. Leave Avshalom. Vayetzei ha'am hasadeh. The people went out to the field. Likras Yisrael, to meet Yisrael in battle, to meet the Jewish army, the Klal Yisrael in battle. Vati ha'milchama b'yar Ephraim. And the battle happened in the forest, in the Yar Ephraim, in the forest of Ephraim. Ephraim, the Yarden, is basically the main border of Eretz Yisrael. It's between the Mediterranean, the Yam HaGadol, and the Yarden. On the other side, which is the east bank of the Yarden, we had Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe. Those 2.5 tribes are on the east bank, which we learn about in the Torah. Everyone else is on the west side of the Yarden, between the Yarden and the Yam HaGadol in the Mediterranean. This Yar Ephraim, it would seem, would be obviously on the mainland, on the west side of the Yarden. If so, it could be. Now, David HaMelech had crossed over the Yarden, and we learned previously in Perek Yud Zayin, it said, Vayichan Yisrael v'Avshalom Eretz HaGilod. Klal Yisrael and Avshalom were also in the land of Gilod, which was on the east side, where by Reuven, Gad, Shevet Menashe, in that part, they had all crossed the Yarden. It said clearly, Avshalom over as HaYarden in Pasuk Chav Dalet in the previous Perek. Avshalom had crossed the Yarden with all of his army. So the question is, what's the battle doing here, Biyar Ephraim, in the forest of Ephraim? Now, it could be, obviously, there were three. David HaMelech had a three-prong attack. He had, his force was divided up into three parts. Could be one part sort of swung around and came around the back, you know, to hit Avshalom's army. But it seems difficult what they're doing in Biyar Ephraim. So Rashi says, what happened was, Yoshua bin Nun made 10 takanos, the Gemara says, in Baba Kama. He made certain things that he instituted for the public welfare. And one of them was that if a shevet or a person owns a forest, and it's basically open nature preserve, he's got an open area, he can't prevent others from using that land. And certain land was left open. If he's building houses and it's his fields is one thing. But if it's a forest and people would let their animals graze in the forest, he can't stop others from doing that. It could be Menashe, B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven. They had this area was a yar, was a forest. And Ephraim was on the other side of the Yarden, but they would bring their animals to the other side and let the animals hang around in the forest and graze there. And therefore it was known as the forest of Ephraim, even though technically, if there was not in the lands of Ephraim, it was belonged to the other Shvatim. But since it was a forest and it was used by Ephraim, it was called the Yar Ephraim. The battle took place in the Yar Ephraim. The truth is that's a big advantage for somebody like David HaMelech, because he was tremendously outnumbered, and if they'd be fighting in an open field and they would have, Avshalom would have his large army and David would have a few men, a few thousand, there would be such a mismatch, David HaMelech's force would be in danger of being wiped out. Here was in a forest, you have trees, you have shrubbery, and it's not an even terrain. So fighting among the bushes and in the forest, even if you're outnumbered and there's only a few men, but he's also coming with a three-prong attack, they're in different areas, so it's certainly for the benefit of David that the battle took place in the Yar Ephraim. Vayinog fusham am Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was dealt a blow. Lifnei avdei David, before the servants of David. Vatisham am agefa gedola. And over there was a great blow. And the Malbim learns there was like two steps. There was vayinog fusham am Yisrael. The battle started. People must have heard the noise and the commotion and the tumult. And there was that blow of knowing David's attacking. And then there was the panic built, and Vatisham Hamagefa Gedola. And then all of a sudden it became a big blow. Bayomahu, and on that day, it seems to be it was a one-day battle. Bayomahu, on that day, there was a Magefa Gedola, Estrim Olef. 20,000 men in Avshalom's army were killed. And the term used is Magefa, which sometimes is the term used for a plague, Min HaShamayim. This was like almost Min HaShemayim that Avshalom with his big army should be defeated by David's few men. And it seems that David HaMelech didn't have a force nearly as big, even though there were, in other words, even when they talked to David, they said to David, you're worth to us like 10,000 men, like Ki Atah Chamono Asera Alofim we had before. You're like 10,000 men. In other words, 10,000 was a large number for them. And some of Forshim learned that they were much less than that. There were a few thousand, but not like 10,000. And here they, 20,000 from Avshalom's army were killed. But Hisham Hamilchama Nafotzes al Pnei Chol Aretz. It was over there the battle spread al Pnei Chol Aretz on the whole land. The ksiv is like naft sois. The Da Sofrim points out it could be the battle itself, by definition, was spread out because they were attacking from different directions. So the Milchama was like a naft sois. It was a battle that was spread out. But the way we have the Kri, the way the Poshut and Meforshim understand it, but Yisham HaMelchama Nafotzes Al Pnei Chol Aretz. It might have started out in this forest, but with Avshalom's men running here and there and being killed, it just spread out even more than would have been expected and more than would have happened were it not to be a rout. It spread out by Yerev Hayar Lechol Ba'am, and the fire and the forest increased, consuming the people, me'asher ochla acherev, more than the sword consumes. Whatever number of people were killed by David HaMelech's army, there were more people that died from being in that forest. There were people that ran and they fell into holes. There were ditches in the ground. There were people that banged into sharp sticks that were protruding from the trees, and they were racing full speed ahead, and they ran into the pieces of the shrubbery, and then they were hurt or killed. And there were animals, as Rashi and the Targum brings down. There are animals of the forest. They're running in the forest, and the animals attacked. So the forest killed more people, me'asher ochla acherev, more than the sword ate by Yom HaHu on that day. Again, it seems to be like it was a one-day battle, but on that day, more people were killed by the forest then were killed by David HaMelech's men. Vayikore Avshalom. Avshalom happened to be found. He happened, lifnei avdei David, to be before the servants of David. This would be totally unexpected. First of all, the king should not normally be like abandoned all by himself. And we're going to see Avshalom was there without any of his men. And Vayikore Avshalom, the fact that Avshalom happened to be found by David HaMelech's men is unusual. It's like a mikra. It seems to be like an accident. Vayikore Avshalom, as if it was written with a hey, Vayikore, as Rashi says, Loshen Mikra. It was like an unusual thing, Upega, that he was met this fate. He came before the servants of David. Vavshalom Rochev Al HaPered. Avshalom was riding on the mule. It's interesting, because normally a king would ride a horse. But we find by the Malchus Beis David, very often they rode a mule. In fact, in Melachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, when David officially made Shlomo the king, it says, take him on the Pirda Asher Li, take him on the mule that's on my mule. And it says they took him on the Pirdas HaMelech, the royal mule. And again, it could be Avshalom Rochiv al HaPered, he's riding al HaPered, on the mule, not just a regular animal. It could be he took the royal mule, which again is really Moreid B'Malchus. In other words, again, to use the royal possessions, the personal belongings of the king, what was the royal Pered, is a rebellion. But Avshalom Rochiv al HaPered, he's riding on the mule, Vayavo HaPered, Tachas Sovech, and the parrot went under a thick branch, Ha'elo Hagedola, of the large elm tree. There was a large tree with a thick branch, and Avshalom is riding the mule, and he goes under this branch. Vayechazak Rosho Va'elo, and his head gets caught in the tree. Which we'll see, Rashi, we'll see in the Gemara in a moment. Avshalom, we learned, was a nozir, and his hair was very long. And as he was riding under this tree branch, his hair got entangled and got caught in the branch. Vayutan bein hashamayim uvein haaretz, and he was suspended between heaven and earth. Vaperet asher tachtov ovor, and the mule that was under him passed straight away and continued going, and he was left hanging there. It could be the parrot was, I would have assumed Avshalom could have controlled his animal. But it could be in the battle, with all the noise and the tumult from the battle, the parrot just went ahead. Or this was all Min HaShemayim, that Avshalom should get hung. So he's riding the mule, he gets caught, and the mule keeps on going, and he's hanging there. Vayutan bein ha-shamayim uvein ha-aretz, and he's hanging between heaven and earth. The Gemara says in Saita, on Daf Yudam Beis, it talks, the Mishnah there discusses how things are Mida Kneged Mida. How things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays a person back based on where he sinned. Whatever he sinned with, that's how he's punished. For instance, by Shimshon, it says Shimshon said to his father, Osa Kachli, take this woman for me, ki hi yoshra be'enai. She is the correct one in my eyes. So it says Shimshon sinned with his eyes. So it says Shimshon sinned with his eyes. So that's why it says the plishtim blinded his eyes. After he was caught at the end of his life, they blinded him, and then he was pushing around with the grindstone, but they blinded his eyes. Likewise, Avshalom nisgoe b'sairo. Avshalom took pride. He was proud of his hair, that he had such beautiful tresses and curly, nice, beautiful, long hair. He cut it only once a year, and he weighed it, and he valued the weight of his hair. But Avshalom nisgoe b'sairo. Tanur Rabbanan, Avshalom b'sairo morad. Avshalom rebelled against Hashem with his hair. Which is interesting, because it started out, it was as a nazir. We learn a nazir, sometimes a person is so taken with his own beauty, and he feels the Yetzirah, he feels, let the hair grow, and then he'll cut it off, Lashem, and show that all of this should be cut off in honor of Hashem. And then he brings Karbanos, but a nazir with his hair, a nazir was a holy person. But with Avshalom, his hair, with the Naziris and with everything, but somehow he was still focused on his hair. He didn't do it in the right way. He had that pride in his hair. And it says, Uchshav Shalom Lahoyo Ish Yofa. There was nobody as handsome as him. Uvagalcho Es Rosho, and when he cut his hair, Vahoyo Miketz Yomim LaYomim Ashiyi Galeach, he only cut his hair once a year when it was heavy, and he would weigh it, and it weighed 200 shekel Be'evan HaMelech with the weight, with the king's stone. But lefichach nisla b'sairam. The Gemara says, since he had that pride in his hair, that's why he ended up being killed. He was hung by his hair. Shenemar, and it brings our pasuk. Vayikari Avshalom. Avshalom happened to be before the servants of David. He was riding the mule, and he was suspended between heaven and earth. Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. Oh, actually, the Gemara says, shokol safsira. Avshalom took a sword. He was a smart man. He was suspended. He was caught with his hair in the branch. Avshalom knew what to do. He didn't give up. He took his sword, and he was prepared to swing it over his hair, over his head, cut the hair, and then he'll fall down. He'll be safe. He took out the sword. And he wanted to cut his hair. Tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. There's a brisa that says, Ba'osa Shoah, at that moment, Nivka Sha'ol mitachtov. The Sha'ol, the grave, Gehenim Chazal say, Chazal, Gehenim opened up in, under him. And he was suspended between heaven and earth. It doesn't just mean that he was high up in the air. But he was between heaven and earth. He looked down, and he saw down was Gehenim. And if he would cut off his hair, he would fall straight into Gehenim. And that's the way he was suspended. And the mule that was under him kept on going. And he's hanging there. The Torah says in Parshas Kisetze, it has the Parsha of Yifas Toar, Kisetze la Mochoma, if you go out to battle, and the guy sees a beautiful woman, and he takes her as Yifas Toar. And the next Parsha discusses, and then afterwards it mentions, If a person has a ben Sora or Moira, he has a son who's rebellious and doesn't listen to his parents. And we've mentioned, Chazal said that somebody who, that type of a shidduch, a guy who takes the Yafaz Toar, is Olul, it's very common. There's a very good chance he'll end up with such a child. And Avshalom was like the Ben Soru Moira. He was the son who rebelled against his father. The next parsha in the Torah is V'chiyah be'ish chet mishpat moves. If a person has a sin that requires him to be killed, the one who was killed was hung on the tree. He wasn't left overnight, because it's too much of a bizoyin, an embarrassment to a person who's the B'Tselem Elohim. We don't leave him overnight, but he is hung on the tree afterwards as a show that people should take a lesson. Avshalom was like this Ben Saru Moira, like this rebellious son, born from Yifas Toar, and he ended up being killed. And this pasuk was fulfilled that he was hung on the tree. Vayutan Ben Hashemayim Uvein Haaretz, and he was suspended between heaven and earth on this tree. Va'per Hashetacht of Ovar, and the mule under him kept on going, and he was stuck. Vayari Shechad. There was one person happened to see. It doesn't mention his name. We'll see later on who it was, but he was not an important person. Vayari Shechad, one guy happened to see. One person saw. Vayagi Liyov, and he told Yoav. Vayomer, and he said, Hine Reisi as Avshalom. Behold, the Chiddush, surprising. I saw Avshalom, Talui Bo'elo, hanging from this elm tree. Now that would be totally unexpected that he should be, somehow he got separated from his army, and he's on a tree all by himself, and he happens to be noticed. He must have been away from the main battle, but he's in some far out way. I don't know exactly why he ended up there. Obviously, that was the plan. But he's on this far away elm tree, and somebody sees him and comes back to Yoav. So when it said in the previous pasuk, it said, Vayikore Avshalom Lifnei Avdei David. He was happened to be before the servants of David. It was really one person happened to see. But this one person saw and he told Yoav. Vayomer Yoav. So Yoav said, Lo ish hamagidlo, to the man who told him, Vehine ro'isa, you really saw, behold, you saw, Umadua lo ikisu shamarza, why didn't you strike him over there down to the ground? You should have killed him. Va'alai losis l'cho asara chesef, and I would have paid you off well. It would have been on me. I'd take the obligation, I'd see to it, to give you 10 silver coins, Vachagora echos, and a belt. I would have paid you for it. Doesn't seem to be, we'll see in a moment, the 10 silver coins doesn't seem to be a very large amount. But as I say, this person was not an important person. And he probably figured for 10 silver coins, it certainly would have been worth it. But I can't believe you saw Avshalom hanging there and you did nothing. Vayomer ha'ishal Yoav. The man said to Yoav, V'lu anochi shokel al kapai. Even if I would be holding in my hands 1,000 silver coins, lo eshlach yori el ben hamelech, I would not send my hand out against the son of the king. First of all, you're telling me, V'olai, you take it like your personal achrayis, your responsibility. V'olai, it'll be on me to give you 10 silver coins. If you would have killed Avshalom, I would have seen to it, you would get paid. The man says to Yoav, forget about you would have seen to it. If I would have had the money in my hands, and forget about the 10 coins, if it would have been 1,000 silver coins in my hand, I never would do such a thing. Lo eshlach yori lo ben hamelech. I never would have sent my hand out against the son of the king. Kiva oznenu tziva hamelech, in our ears, we heard. When the king commanded Oscha, he told you, Ves Avishai, Ves Itai, and Avishai, and Itai, Lamor, saying, Shimru mi banar bav shalom. Either can mean Shimru mi, guard whoever it is that touches the nar of shalom. Anybody who touches of shalom, bring him to me. Don't let him get away. Or it could be Shimrumi, just means Shimrumi. Whoever it is Nogeya, whoever it involves, everyone should be on guard not to do anything but Nar B'Avshalom. He told us nobody should do anything to Avshalom. So first of all, he's the Ben HaMelech. He's the son of the king. And the king said clearly, nobody should touch the Nar Avshalom. So even if I had 1,000 silver coins in my hand, I would never touch him. I would never do anything. But you see the devotion of David HaMelech's soldiers, because here this is his superior. There's many cases where the general says something against the commander-in-chief, and you know the soldier who doesn't listen to the general also suffers. Here he's speaking directly to Yoav, and he's telling to Yoav, no matter what you say or what you would give me, I would never listen. Because we know clearly exactly what David HaMelech said, and I would never do anything to Avshalom. And even if you would perhaps, the Chidov mentions this debate between, the question between Yoav, the general, and this man, could be actually, as the Machloikis, there's a law of a rodef. Meaning if one person is pursuing another to kill him, anybody who sees, whether it's the victim or anybody, is allowed to kill the rodef. If somebody sees Rodef, a guy pursuing to kill, the pursuer's life is forfeited. Anybody can kill the pursuer to save the potential victim. But that's only if there's no other way to save the person. In other words, if the pursuer could be shot in the leg, and that would stop him, it's not permissible to shoot a kid to kill him. The question is, does that apply in war? This is a war going on. Avshalom has his men. There's a battle going on. There's a battle. Avshalom is on the tree there. You might... the man looked at it, which is the way David HaMelech looked at it, that Lamaisa, they don't need to kill Avshalom. Avshalom wouldn't kill David HaMelech. They didn't view him as such a threat, and even though it led to a battle. But there's no reason to... We can take Avshalom and we'll lock him up and that'll be the end of it. There's no permission to kill Avshalom, even if he's a rodef, because we can stop him in other ways. We can capture him. No reason to kill him. Yoav felt that wartime is different. That it's not a regular case of a rodef. Once it's war, it's permitted to kill him, even if it would have been possible to just lock him up. But the man says, O'asisi v'nafshi sheker. Now, perhaps you'll tell me we won't tell David HaMelech what happened. You should have killed Avshalom. I'd pay you off. Nobody has to hear a thing. But the way it's written with a vav. The ksiv is o'asisi v'nafsho sheker. I would be doing wrong to Avshalom. Here, Avshalom is suspended by the tree. He's caught by his hair. Now, it doesn't say the Farish whether he said anything or not. I saw that again. The Das Sofrim points out that if he didn't say anything, it would have to be like Chazal with Ruach HaKodesh knew that he saw Gehenna open below him. But it could very simply that Avshalom was yelling. He took the sword, he was going to cut his hair, he looked down, he saw Gehenna, and he started yelling, exactly, you know, somebody should come rescue him. And as he saw, he couldn't fall, Gehenna's under him. But seeing Avshalom there hanging, whether he told the people he sees there's Gehenna, or just in general, you can imagine he had a hero tshuva and he realized this is his hair that he had such gaiva and such pride in is now what's caught him on that tree. To go now that Avshalom at that moment was, we can be assured, was ready to give up the kingdom. Now, as he wasn't interested in being king, he was interested in staying alive. And if somebody would go to Avshalom now, Avshalom's yelling for help. And to go over to Avshalom and kill him, Avshalom is yelling for help and he's desperate, he's doing tshuva and he admits that he's wrong and everything. And now to go ahead and kill Avshalom in cold blood, that's o'asisi v'nafsho sheker. That would be false. That would be a wrongdoing to Avshalom. But the kri is the way we read it, o'asisi v'nafshi sheker. I would be doing sheker to myself. How could I live with myself if I would do such a thing? Is that the right thing to do? Even if David HaMelech doesn't hear about it. David HaMelech doesn't know. But is that the right thing? You tell me, I would be doing a sheker to myself. Which, by the way, there's a certain attitude. People working on self-perfection. And again, this is one of the lower people in the army. Which we'll see later on. He was the Kushi. We'll see he was not a prominent man in the army. But he also had that feeling. Like, if you do certain actions, you're ruining your own soul. You're ruining your own midos, your own... I would be doing a sheker to my soul. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to live with myself. How can I have such a conscience of doing such a thing with whatever rationalization? And you could have somebody as great as Yoav telling you to kill him. But it would be a sheker. It's not the right thing to do. Or sisi b'nafshi sheker. I'd be doing a lie to myself. V'chol dover lo yikochi min ha-melech. And besides that, he tells Yoav, even if you don't want to go with my religious protests, but we all know the king will find out. V'chol dover lo yikochi min ha-melech. Nothing will be held back from the king, and the king is going to find out. V'atzot tisiyat save me neged. And then you'll stand at a distance. Right now you're telling me you wish I would have killed Avshalom. And then what's going to happen is the king's going to find out. And then all of a sudden, we're going to find out that Yoav is going to pretend he doesn't know anything about it, and he'll stand at a distance, and you won't get involved to save my life. You won't take responsibility. We had a similar thing with Avshalom himself. When Avshalom ended up killing Amnon a few prokim ago, he assured everybody, don't worry, I'll come and I'll stick up for you. And as soon as it happened, Avshalom got and he ran away. He fled. So sometimes the promise is made, but you can't count on it. Or it could be he's telling Avshalom, you want me to go and kill him. What, you're going to stay at a distance? And you're telling me, don't worry, I'll pay you and nobody will find out about it. What, you're going to stand back and I'm going to do the dirty work? And I'm going to be the one to kill Avshalom. Vayomer Yoav. So Yoav says, Lo chein, it's not so. It's not proper. It's not right. Lo chein, not so, O chilo lefonecha, that I'm going to beg you. This is not the way. I'm going to beg you to kill Avshalom. Vayikach shlosha shivotim. He took three sticks, three staves, three sharp poles, bachapo in his hand. Vayiskoim b'leiv Avshalom. And he went ahead and he stuck it into the heart of Avshalom, Odenu Chai, and he was still alive, Velev Ha'ela, by the center trunk, by the heart of this elm tree. And he's hanging there by the center of this tree. Yoav went with these three sticks and he plunged it into his heart. And some learned, Vayiskoim Velev Avshalom, he stuck it into the heart of Avshalom and he was still alive. Belev ha'elo, and the pole went out, and the pole went into the tree. Or it went through and through with three of these sticks that Yoav, we'll see though, I would say would kill, killed Avshalom, but Avshalom was actually still alive. With all this, he was still alive. But lo chein ochila lefanecha, it's an unusual word, we actually say it yom neroim. Ochila lekela chalapanov, right? Ochila is all. I'm not going to beg you. Of course, Yom Noroim, we do beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanis. But I'm not going to beg you, Yoav says. And the Malbim brings up Shat, Lo Chein, it's not so. Ochila lefanecha, I will begin. Ochila can begin, it can mean to begin. Ochila lefanecha, I will begin. I don't need you, I'll begin. And he went ahead and he stuck the three sticks into Avshalom's heart. But it was only a beginning. In Vayasobu Asara Na'arim, then there were 10 lads who surrounded and went around Avshalom. Nosei Klei Yoav, the weapon carriers of Yoav. Vayaku es Avshalom Vayimisu. And they struck Avshalom Vayimisu and they killed him. The Gemara learns that in Sanhedrin on Daf Kuf Gimel. I guess we could have assumed that he would have died. In other words, after these three, he was suspended by the tree. It's not clear, hanging from the tree, how long he would have lived there. Especially with Chazal, that there was Gehenim open underneath him. He's not going to cut his hair. He's just hanging and hanging. I don't know if he could have gotten down. But certainly after the three sticks that are in his heart, and now you have 10 people that surround him and start beating him, we know he would have died. But the Pasuk stresses, Vayimisu, they killed him, that he was dead permanently. He was killed in Olam Hazeh, he was killed in Olam Haba, and Avshalom learns that he didn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. Rabbi Meir says in the Gemara that Avshalom didn't have a chelek in Olam Haba. They killed him, he was finished in this world and in the next world. Of course, we're going to learn later on what happens to him. Even after he's dead, we're not finished with Avshalom. We'll see what David HaMelech does. But at the moment, the 10 Na'arim surround him and they beat him. the Gemara says, again, this Gemara in Sota and Daf, Tessam and Beis, the Mishnah mentions, Ulefi Shagonav Gimel Genevos, Avshalom did three Genevos. He stole three things. Lev Oviv, he stole the heart of his father. V'lev Bezdin, and he stole the heart of Bezdin. V'lev Yisrael, and he stole the heart of Klal Yisrael. L'fichach nisku bo gimel shevatim. That's why three sticks were stuck in his heart. As our pasuk says. And Rashi explains, where did he steal these hearts? He stole Lev Oviv. He stole, that's what's called Geneva Stas. He stole the heart of David HaMelech, means he fooled him. V'dichsiv, because the pasuk says earlier in Perek Tezvav, it says, Elchano, Avshalom said to David, let me go now. Vashalom as nedori, and pay up a neder. I made a vow that I'd bring a korban. I want to bring my korbanos. I want to go to Hebron to bring the korbanos, for the korban. And he went to Hebron. And over there he went ahead and he made himself the king. So he fooled David HaMelech. That's where he stole the heart of David. And then there's a Vamrinan v'soita Yerushalmi. And the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi, says with Avshalom he had the pasuk that there were 200 people who were called, and they were going with Sumam without knowing anything was going on. There were 200 people walking with Avshalom. And it says in Chazal, they were summoned by David HaMelech. Because Avshalom said, Ksovli, he asked his father David, write down for me, she'ilchui mi osan shnaim she'evchar, that any two people that I want should have to go with me. Write down on a piece of paper that any two people that I want should come with me. Because of lo. So David HaMelech wrote, this is a royal edict, any two people that are asked by Avshalom should go along with him. This is all Rashi and Soita Dav Tes, Amud Beis. And he would show this letter to two people, and they would go after him, and then show it to another two, until he had 200 people. And they all didn't know what the purpose was. They were shown a letter, if you're shown this group of two, go together with Avshalom. And they're walking, they don't know what they're doing, or what they're going for, and he showed it to another two. But anyways, he had 200 people going along with him. And they were all the Rashi Sanhedros, they were all the leaders of the Sanhedrin, or the different courts. There were large, there was a Sanhedrin Gedol and a Sanhedrin Kitana. There were different courts. So there were 200 of these great leaders. And they were all going with Avshalom. So he stole the heart of Bezdin. And he stole the heart of Klal Yisrael, is what we learned before. That people would come for a Din Torah, they would come for a court case, and Avshalom would say, oh, David HaMelech is so busy, he can't help you out properly, he doesn't have the time, I just wish that I had the opportunity to help you. And he convinced the people that he was on their side. So he stole three hearts. And therefore, he was killed with these three sticks. With these three shivotim. The 10 na'arim surrounded him. Meforshim bring down that he had, David HaMelech had left 10 pilagshim in Yerushalayim when he fled. And Avshalom sinned with those 10 pilagshim. Now from 10, each one of them, it's like he's getting Yisurim, he's suffering from each one of those 10, because 10 na'arim surround him, and they're all beating him as a punishment for those 10 pilagshim. And this all happened belev ho'elo, by the heart of this elm tree. And Chazal say, let the elo, let this tree come that doesn't really have a lev. A tree doesn't have a heart. It means the center of the tree is called the lev, but it doesn't have, a tree doesn't have a heart. But let the tree come that doesn't have a heart, and pay back Avshalom, who had a heart. And he stole three hearts. He stole the lave of his father and Bezdin and Klal Yisrael. So Yoav killed and was responsible for killing Avshalom. Why did Yoav do it? David HaMelech said very clearly, "Lat li lanar l'Avshalom, don't do it." And he was reminded by this the one, the ish, the person who saw him, told him clearly, we heard the king say not to kill him, and Yoav goes ahead, he does his own thing. It could be, obviously, Yoav felt that min hashamayim, there was a message, min hashamayim, that Avshalom should be killed. This was so unusual that the two forces are fighting together, and Avshalom is all by himself hanging on the tree. And he knew what Avshalom did, the way Avshalom, he just said, stole the hearts and he rebelled against his father. And because of Avshalom, tens of thousands were killed. 20,000 of his men were killed. So Yoav was convinced that Avshalom deserved to be killed. And whatever David HaMelech said before, David wasn't fully aware of how bad Avshalom was. But he knew that Avshalom deserved to die. And it could be also the king said it as king, he didn't feel that Avshalom should be killed. But Melech Shemachal al Kvodo ain Kvodo Machul. A king doesn't have the right to say, I'm not makbid on my honor. If Avshalom rebels against the king, Avshalom deserves to die. The king can't say, I'm Moichel and I don't mind. David also didn't say clearly, even though it was understood that way, it was understood, Shimru no, everyone should be on guard not to touch Avshalom, and use the word la'atli, go easy with the nar Avshalom. But it wasn't like the king said clearly, don't kill him. That was definitely the implication. It was definitely what was intended. But it wasn't like he felt he's going directly against the words of David. David said, go easy with the nar Avshalom, but under the circumstances, we can't go easy. It's not, but it wasn't like the king said clearly, don't kill him. And the last thing is, Yoav was concerned with the Malchus, he was concerned with Klal Yisrael. And if Avshalom would stay alive, could be he felt there would be a civil war, and the men would still be backers of Avshalom, and this matter wouldn't be put to rest. By killing Avshalom, this one person Avshalom, we'll see Klal Yisrael is once again united. It wasn't like they were out to kill each other. It was Avshalom was after David, that's all he wanted, whether he wanted to kill him or lock him up, but he just wanted David, and everyone else just had to deal with Avshalom. That's it. Once Avshalom is killed, David is again the king, and Shlomo HaMelech will take over afterwards, and the whole thing is resolved. Of course, Yoav was wrong, but the one noteworthy point is, somebody in fact mentioned to me last night, and when David tells Shlomo HaMelech, that cedar with that Yoav gets a punishment, that Yoav is killed because of what he did. He blames Yoav for doing two things. That he killed the Shnei Sari Yisrael. He killed two great generals in Klal Yisrael. He killed Avner ben Ner. And he killed Amosa, who was this general that Avshalom made, Amosa ben Yeser. We'll learn about that later. But he doesn't mention the fact that Yoav killed Avshalom. It was wrong, but it doesn't mention that as the great blame against Yoav. Avshalom is dead, and we're going to see now how David reacts to it and what happens afterwards. We'll meet the show next week.